Oh, we need you.
Amen.
And we need your cleansing blood.
Amen.
Cover us for this whole time.
Amen.
And we thank you for your word.
Amen.
We pray you anoint your word.
Amen.
We live not by bread alone,
Amen.
But by every word proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
We love you and we love your word.
Amen.
Bless our time together.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear saints, this morning we have a review of Philippians chapter 3 and 4. I think many of you know that we also have a training on Genesis, on the book of Genesis. And the training in Anaheim just finished yesterday. And today will be the first video training meeting this afternoon. So I have some burden to share Philippians chapter 3 and 4 and also the Genesis training. I just came back, so I missed the last two meetings. But anyway, I just share a little bit what I enjoy. I guess it's not easy to to share both, so pray for me.
Amen.
You know, in the past, I would think, you know, Philippians and Genesis, they don't have much in common. How can you bring the two together? But in fact, that is not true. Because Genesis is the first book. Of course, Philippians is not the last book. And the first book, Genesis, in fact, all the divine revelation, the seed of the divine revelation, all the seeds, they all are sown in Genesis. Then it grow and develop through the rest of the Bible until the last book, Revelation, and we have the harvest. So if you read Philippians, you will find a lot of things are already in the book of Genesis. So I just want to bring out a few points. In Genesis, you know, divine revelation is concerning God and concerning his economy. Genesis revealed God to us. The first sentence in Genesis is, in the beginning, God created. Even in such a simple phrase, the matter of the triune God is already sown there. Because in the beginning, God, this word, God, in Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim means the mighty one. But this word is plural. That implies the very God we believe is a unique God, but is also triune. In the beginning, God is plural. But the word created is singular. So it shows the God we believe is the triune God.
Amen.
So we see by this that even the matter of triune God is sown in the book of Genesis. And of course, we are all very familiar that in the New Testament, the whole New Testament is concerning Christ and the church. And in the first book, Genesis, the picture is already there also, with the picture of Adam and Eve. We know Adam is created, but Eve is not created. And this picture is very crucial, because after Adam was created, God put Adam to sleep. Make the long story short, took out a rib and he built a woman. That's the first mention concerning the building. And even this simple picture, it speaks a lot because it shows the church comes out of Christ. The church is not God created Adam, then God created Eve. No, it's not like that. So Christ, typified by Adam, out of Christ, out of Adam's rib, God built a woman. So in this picture, we see that Eve, or the church, is totally of Christ, come out of Christ. So it's the same in life and nature and expression, in function, and matches Adam. So the church comes out of Christ and also eventually was brought back to Christ, to join to Christ. Now, although we had recently we have a few weddings, and very often we use Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, in fact, refers back to Genesis 1. The two shall be one flesh is in Genesis. It's also mentioned in Ephesians 5. So Christ and the church, of course, is not one flesh. Adam and Eve is one flesh. Christ and the church is one spirit. Praise the Lord for Christ and the church.
Amen.
So this picture is also in Genesis. By this we can see that the seeds of the divine revelation, they are sown in the book of Genesis. Okay, let's come back to Ephesians. Ephesians, we enjoy very much. So we finish chapter 4, then we come back to have the review of chapter 3 and chapter 4. Since we just finished Philippians is the book concerning the experience of Christ. Experience of Christ as life. So life, even life this matter, is also in Genesis. When God created man, after creation, he put man in front of the tree of life. So that life shows that, in fact, the tree of life is Christ. Because in the Bible, the Lord Jesus said himself, I am life. But he also said, I am the vine tree. So if you put the two together, then Christ is the tree of life. So we see all the seeds of the divine revelation are sown in the book of Genesis. The book of Philippians is concerning the experience of Christ, and in fact, it is the experience of Christ as life. You may ask, where is the experience of Christ as life in Genesis, right? In fact, there is a message with this very title. Experience Christ as life as portrayed in Genesis 1. So this is message 3. So everybody, by the way, today's live training, today's video training is open. I guess tomorrow is not. Tomorrow's message, today is 1 or 2?
3 and 4.
Huh? Oh, today is 3 and 4. Oh, that's wonderful. So today's first message is concerning the experience of Christ as life portrayed in Genesis, in Genesis 1. So don't miss it. So we can see that the two books are very much related, right? So we can see that the book of Genesis, in fact, is very rich, and it contains a lot of riches. I hope we all can, when we are enjoying, I guess next week we're going to have since we are on the video training, we will have the Genesis verses also for us to review and to enjoy. So I hope that we all can enter into the burden to speaking on the book of Genesis. You know, Philippians is a book on the experience of Christ, and it is also on God's salvation. That's why we use the verses, you know, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Since it's not on the morning watch sheets, maybe we can read together. I know that for me, this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So this is Paul speaking, that he was put in jail and in bond, in chains. But he said the situation will turn out to his salvation through, firstly, the saints' prayer. Then, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The reason, your petition first, then the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is because the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ come through the saints. So today, we're in the body, and we have the channel to receive such a supply. And Paul's salvation was his particular salvation while he was put in jail. We all know, you know, if someone is in jail, it's not something to be proud of. It's a shameful thing. But Paul did not get to put into shame. He said, "Nothing I shall be put to shame." He was very bold. Why? Because he was a living Christ and magnifying Christ. So we all know, for us to have a living, we need to have the life. So Paul's living Christ is not living by his natural life, but rather is by his the divine life he has received. So in chapter 1, the salvation is concerning Paul in a very particular situation, is by living Christ and magnifying Christ. And in chapter 2, maybe we can read these verses also. "So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, with fear and trembling." Right. Here, Paul was speaking to the Philippians. The following verse is mentioned that it is God who operates in you, both the willing and the working. But Paul asked Philippians to work out their own salvation through fear and trembling. If you read the whole chapter of Philippians 2, you will know the salvation in chapter 2 is concerning us reflecting Christ. Because it mentioned that we shine as luminaries in the world, holding forth the word of life. So that salvation in chapter 2 is concerning that if we spend time with the Lord, eventually we will reflect the Lord. We are not the source of light, just like the moon is not the source of light. The sun is the source of light. When the moon shines, it reflects the sun. So for us Christians, we are not light. Yes, we mentioned about we are also the light of the world. Of course, Christ is the light of the world. But our light is like the moon. We reflect. You know, by our spending time with the Lord, we behold him, and then we reflect him. Amen. So, in chapter 2, the salvation is concerning that we reflect by holding for the word of life. And it goes on in chapter 3. Chapter 3 is also salvation. But in chapter 3, the salvation is, Paul said, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God and based on faith. So, in chapter 3, the salvation is to live our life, which is righteousness. And in chapter 4, the salvation is concerning a life. That life lived out is true and is dignified and is righteous. And also, that life is pure and is lovely and is well spoken of. The life lived out is a life of forbearance without anxiety and is full of virtue, full of praise. So we can see Philippians is a book of salvation. You'll be amazed. I was amazed that in Genesis, salvation is there. In fact, we should realize, of course, salvation is in Genesis. But there's a particular picture concerning Paul's word, work out your own salvation. I don't know whether you can recall any portion in the Old Testament or in the New Testament there was such a matter of work out your own salvation. We all think salvation we receive, right? We believe in the Lord, we just receive salvation. Salvation should not be a work, right? But Paul in Philippians mentioned that we need to work out our salvation. Now what does that mean? But if you... Okay, this is message 11. So if you... I don't know whether that message is open. Then you will hear the word concerning in Genesis, there is such a matter of work out your own salvation. And that picture is with Noah. Was Noah saved? I don't know. Can you say? Noah, of course, Noah built the ark, right? We all know that. Before he built the ark, was he saved? He was saved. But he needs to build the ark. The very ark he built was his salvation eventually. So today, we also need to build the ark so we can be saved. So if you read that, if you are in that message, you will realize that that message is very rich concerning the concerning Noah building an ark. So he built himself into the ark. And eventually, the ark was his salvation to be saved from God's judgment, God's condemnation. At the same time, for him to be separated from the evil generation. And at the end, he was brought into a new age. And that is the picture of us today. Today, what are we doing? We are building what? We're building the church. That's second step. The first step is we are building the ark. Of course, we're not building the physical ark. You know, the ark saved Noah and his whole family. Ark typified Christ. You know, in Christ, Noah's whole family was saved. In the ark, even all creation, all the animals, they were saved. So today, we should build a Christ, which is present Christ, practical Christ, for us to experience. And this is building the ark. We are building the ark, building such a Christ, which is experiential, for the building up of the body of Christ. And that will, you know, the Lord is waiting. The Lord is waiting for what? The Lord is waiting to change the age from the age of grace, the age of the church, to the age of the kingdom. But how can he do it? He needs a group of people to be today's Noah and his family. So he cannot complete this building. Then that will save. You know, at that time, God used the flood to judge that world. But one day, according to the word, the Lord will use the great tribulation to judge the world. But by our building, we can save ourselves, and we can also save others. So all these are pictures we see in Genesis. So Genesis is very rich. It's concerning life. It's concerning the experience of life. It's concerning the triune God. It's concerning Christ. Now, let me just mention a little bit concerning the experience of life in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, usually people think that's a record of creation, but it's too brief to be the creation, the record of creation. In Genesis 1, he mentioned that, in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth became waste and void, and it was covered under the water. Then the Spirit of God brooded over the water. And that's a picture of our salvation. You know, before we got saved, somehow the Lord just moved in us. I don't know about you. You know, I didn't initiate anything from myself that I want to believe in the Lord Jesus. But somehow the Lord just, you know, working in us, in our environment, that was the brooding of the Spirit. Then God said, so God's working, you know. That's when we hear the gospel. When we hear the gospel, God said, let there be light. So firstly we have the Spirit, then we have the Word, then we have the light. When the light shines, then we realize, wow, Christ is a wonderful Savior. Before, I don't think he was a Savior. He was someone related to me. But when the Spirit brooding, and when the light, when the Word comes, then I see the light. I think this is our story, you know. All of us, we have the Spirit, we have the Word, we have the light, and then the Lord's salvation comes to us. You know, if you follow Genesis 1, you will see the first day was that there be light. And the second day, the Lord separated the water below and the water above, and expanse in between. So the separation to know what is heavenly and what is earthly has something to do with us, to do with our experience of the Lord. If we are a Christian, got saved, but don't know what is heavenly, what is earthly, that Christian's life is very, still in a very beginning stage. But the more when the Lord's working continue in all of us, the more the life grow in us, you know. In Genesis 1, there are four separations. The first one, of course, let there be light. The light and darkness, they were separated. Then the Lord separated the water above and the water below. So what is heavenly, what is earthly is separated. Then the next is on the third day, when the Lord caused the land to rise above the death water. So there was the separation of the dry land and the death water. That caused life to flourish, you know. Of course, that land typified Christ. And the Christ was raised on the third day. And Christ was the generating source of all the riches of life. You know, plant life, vegetable life, all kind of life. And on the fourth day, there is God put the light barrels, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars. All this causes life to grow, and the life will grow from the lower level of grass, vegetable, trees, then gradually we have the life of the fish in the sea and the birds in heaven. So all this shows the life growing process. So in Genesis 1, we see the experience of Christ as life in a very clear way. And of course, eventually, on the fifth day, there was the fourth day was the vegetable life, and the fifth day there was the higher life, but still not the highest. On the sixth day, there were the animal life, and also the cattle. Then sixth day, God created human beings in His image and according to His likeness. So all this shows that our experience of life, how it progresses, you know. From the beginning, there may be the light, but the first day, God said that there will be light. That light, there was light, but not as definite as the fourth day light. The fourth day light is the sun, it's the moon, they are the stars. So there was a separation between day and night, and it's in a more definite way. So from all this, we see the experience of life is portrayed in Genesis. In Genesis, even in Genesis 1. Okay, by this we see some of the things both in Philippians and also in Genesis. Okay, at the end, I just want to mention something that we read some of the verses in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul mentioned, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. Then he mentioned, we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, these two, there are contrasts. One group, they are dogs, they are evil workers, they are concision. And the other group, Paul referring to he and the other co-workers, the Christians. Who are they? They are the ones, they are the circumcision. And they are the ones who serve by the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, these two groups is also in Genesis. And this is in Genesis chapter 4. No, we don't, so we put the verses up there so we can, you know, read it together. So at least we get some picture. Maybe you can read Genesis 4, brothers 1, and sisters 2, that's alternate, and read these verses. And the man knew Eve, his wife, should see. Sister. Brothers. Sisters. Brothers.
But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. And Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell.
And Jehovah said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?
If you do well,
will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And his desire is for you, and you must rule over him. Then Jehovah said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Okay, here is a very striking story. You know, this is the second generation of mankind, and this thing happened. The New Testament didn't mention that much. We used one verse, which is Hebrews. Maybe we can read the Hebrews together. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts. And through faith, though he has died, he still speaks. But here we see that in Genesis, we don't know, you know, why God took Abel's offering, sacrifice, and God rejected Cain's offerings. But in Hebrews mentioned that Abel offered by faith. And in Romans, it mentioned something about faith. Let's read together. So faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of God, through the word of Christ, right? So by these two verses, we know that Abel's war offering was something different from Cain. Cain offered, you know, he's a tiller of the ground. You know, that means he's a kind of like a farmer, you know. But Abel, he's a tender of the sheep. At that time, man, before the flood, men don't eat meat. So it's not like Abel loves to eat meat, and Cain is a vegetarian. No, it's nobody eat meat at that time. So Abel taking care of the sheep was not for his living. And Cain tilling the ground, growing vegetables or different things, was for his living. So by this word in Hebrews, Abel must have heard from his parents that, you know, after man fell, and God eventually, you know, they hide themselves, and God said, who are you? Where are you? And eventually, God made coats of skin to cover them. So by the verses in Genesis, we will see that Abel, he offered the firstlings of the flock, and that was mentioned in the Numbers, that should be offered to God. And the fat of the animal is burned for God's satisfaction. But in order to offer an animal, you have to kill the animal. So the shedding of the blood, you know, must be from Abel's parents. Abel's parents must have told the story concerning their eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and eventually God has to kill a sacrifice, and there was a shedding of the blood, and using that, mostly it's the lamb, the skin to cover them. The whole picture shows us eventually the Old Testament, it matches whatever the commandment, matches what Abel did. Abel did was according to eventually what the Old Testament God's people did. So it shows that Abel's service is by faith. Faith is according to God's word. So our service should not be out of ourselves. And Cain, he offered the what's on the ground to God, that was what he ate. And who told him to offer the vegetable? That's his own concept. So in this picture, we can see the very picture in Philippians, that there are two groups of people. One, they serve, have no confidence in the flesh. And the other group, they feel, you know, what? When I read Genesis chapter 4 concerning Cain, I said, that's not fair. Cain has to sweat, right? In order to grow something. You're taking the sheep, you just take the sheep to, you know, to eat grass and let them do, you know. And they grow and I thought that's not fair. But this is the very thing that from these two persons, Abel and Cain, we will see. Abel's service was according to God, according to God's word, according to what he heard from his parents, according to God's principle. And Abel's service is out of his labor, out of his work, out of his presumptuousness that God will take. God has to take. I work so hard. God has to take. But God has no regard for Cain's service. So today is the same. You know, when Paul was saying, beware of dogs. You know, who are these dogs? Before Paul got saved, he was the top dog of the whole group. Because he was persecuting all those, you know, following the Lord Jesus. But now he realized what he did was the dog. You know, he was unclean because he was doing things out of himself, zealous. So brother said, you know, Cain invented a religion, worshiping God by offering the whatever is out of the ground. Brother said, religion starts with worshiping God, ends with killing people. So whatever is not out of God, out of God's word, they have this situation. You know, killing people sometimes doesn't mean physically killing people. You may just angry, you know. If you read the whole context, you will know Cain's countenance, he was down, you know, God had no regard for his offerings. So we should always, that's why I say the book of Philippians is also a book of rejoicing, right? We serve the Lord should be rejoicing. We serve the Lord, we serve in our service groups, we should enjoy the Lord. Sometimes if we are serving the Lord, serving with the saints, if our face is down, we all need to be reminded. We may be serving in ourselves. We may be serving, you know, out of our labor, you know. I work so hard, you know. I labor so hard. Look at this brother, this sister, you know, he's not doing that much. But he or she may be enjoying the Lord. I don't mean just enjoy the Lord, don't serve. I don't mean that. I mean that we should follow the principle of Abel, you know. I also picked some verses concerning rejoicing. You know, Paul rejoicing is also in the book of Philippians. So our Christian life, when we experience the Lord, we rejoice. So the rejoice is the result of our experience the Lord and enjoying the Lord. We read the verses. It was quite striking to me this time when I read it. That is in chapter 4, verse 6. Maybe we can read it again, then we'll finish. Philippians chapter 4 was verse 6. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I don't know whether you you notice it's in everything that your request be made known to God. It's not that when we have problems, let your difficulties be made known to God. Everything means everything. So everything, we do a lot of things every day, right? Everything we should make known, be made known to God.
Amen.
You may say, I come to the meeting, do I need to let it be made known to God? Yes. In everything. So Christian life is a life in everything, let our requests be made known to God. And then in everything, we will experience the Lord. Then in everything, Christ will live in us.
Amen.
Then eventually, we will have the joy. Then we will rejoice.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a salvation.
Amen.
It's not just from eternal perdition, the lake of fire, but it's also for every day.
Amen.
That is a practical, present salvation. And that is the Christ we experience, and that is we building today the present ark, which is Christ. By building such a Christ, by contacting the Lord, enjoying the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, converse with the Lord, don't wait when the big problem comes, even start from the small things, even you have no problems, let your requests be made known to Him.
Amen.
And by building such a Christ, we experience, we enjoy every day. We are here for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Then eventually, God will use this to turn the age.
Amen.
To turn the age from the age of the church to the age of the kingdom.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a rich portion in the book of Philippians. And is portrayed, the seeds are sown in the book of Genesis.
Amen.
Amen. I'll stop here. I don't know whether we have some. Go to the language groups. Maybe we can have some prayers before we do that. Amen.